Ira Kaufman himself will be at Big Storm Brewery Sunday in Clearwater, 4:25 kickoff. Sage rolls in a little before 4 o'clock to make sure all his food is in order and his beer is in hand by the time kickoff comes. You can join him. He's got some gift cards. Big Storm Brewery, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Beautiful indoor tap room, outdoor seating, fully covered. Great setup, sound, everything, Wi-Fi. Big Storm Brewery, Sunday in Clearwater, 4:25 kickoff. Ira, it's clear as it can be. If you have a flood in your house, if you find mold, if you have a disaster, a fire, storm damage, you call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7, and they give you a free assessment inside your property so you know what the heck's going on.
They know what they're doing over there, Steve, at Florida's Elite Restoration. Josh Martin's got a good group. We know these people. We know people that have used them. So this is not just some kind of a promotion and we don't really know anything about the company. It's not like that.
They're going to work with your insurance company so you don't get ripped off. And it's your peace of mind in your greatest hour of need. Owner Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration, he's got 14 years experience on the other side as an insurance adjuster. So he knows exactly what's going on. He knows how to prevent you from getting screwed by your insurance company. And it's really important. And of course, he also works with the great property managers across the Tampa Bay area, plumbers, air conditioning repair folks who are always in need of disaster services because they find all kinds of problems. It's peace of mind, Ira. I know you have it.
The rainy season is behind us. But Steve, that doesn't mean you're not going to have a potential mold problem in your residence because you can get a leak at any time. At any time, garage, in your kitchen, in the bathroom. And when that happens, you face potential water damage, mold issues. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. That should be your first call before your insurance. They'll come out, Josh Martin and his group, and you'll get an honest assessment. You can't just let it go. Florida's Elite Restoration has to be your first phone call. Yeah.
Buccaneers fans fired up here on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Saints week, Jameis Winston. Can't wait for the Bucs to just pound the Saints. This is fantastic. The slimy Saints. Ira Kaufman is in the house. He is the sage of Tampa Bay sports. You know all his nicknames. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer. Mr. Bill Curry Ford. Ira, wow. What a weekend this is going to be. What a Sunday. Everything on the line in a lot of ways because the Bucs can really put such tremendous ground between themselves and the Saints and take a huge step toward the first division title for this team since 2007. But if they lose, everything falls apart in what the Bucks want to accomplish right now in the moment. So a lot on the line. The podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, as we heard. Ira, how are you?
Steve, you did a good job setting up this matchup. It's kind of pivotal going into a bye week. Lee, should the Bucs win and go to 7-1, they'd be 2.5 games up on the Saints. Even if the Falcons won this weekend, they'd be 2.5 games up on the Falcons. Lee, and they would have already beaten New Orleans and Atlanta in their first matchups of the season. That's a big bulge, Lee, with what would be 9 games remaining. And I think it would set up the Bucs wonderfully in terms of playoff seeding because, Lee, after the bye week, they're probably going to be pretty healthy, depending on what happens Sunday afternoon at the Superdome. Lee, the interesting thing about the Saints, they've changed their identity without Drew Brees and Sean Payton. You got to give him credit, Lee. At this stage in his coaching career, that's the art of coaching, Lee. Go at what you got. By that, I mean Winston's throwing 25 times a game, and they're now a defensive-oriented team, and their defense looks very good, Lee, especially their rush defense. So I don't see the Bucs putting up 30, 35 points unless the Saints commit a lot of turnovers on Sunday.
You said rush defense. Are you talking about pass rush or the run defense?
Run defense is strong. Okay. Strong. Yeah, strong.
I have to admit, I wasn't aware of that. I was listening to a couple of podcasts and they were saying they thought the Bucs might be able to run on them, so that's interesting. Yeah, everything you say is accurate. Now, we got to be careful for people that might be listening in public. bulge is not something you may want if you're walking into a library or a department store or something like that. The Saints have been remade, so to speak. And I love the phrase you use, art of coaching. That's just what Sean Payton's doing. He's looking at what he has talent-wise, and he's crafting a game plan. He's crafting an offense around his talent attributes. And I think that's his great coaching. And I've heard some people say that, you know, analysts, NFL analysts on national talk shows, I've heard some people say this may be Peyton's best job of coaching in some time. You know, when he had Breeze, that's just basically, you know, you're rolling out the football, so let's go. Whereas now he's coaching, how can I best utilize Jameis? How can I best utilize Kamara? How can I best utilize these guys? No, by the way, with Michael Thomas out, their receivers aren't really much to write about.
Steve, what's interesting about the defense, they lost Trey Hendrickson. Steve, he's doing a heck of a job in Cincinnati. And the Bengals' defense is nothing to sneeze about. We know what Trey Hendrickson did to the Bucs in that 38-3 disaster at Raymond James last year. He abused Donovan Smith. He did. But they let him go in free agency, and so they lost him. But Steve, Marcus Davenport's back. They still got Cam Jordan. He's yet to get on track. I think their best defender right now, they have Lattimore back there. And, of course, that battle between him and Evans is always fascinating. But this linebacker, DeMario Davis, he was absolutely phenomenal in their last game. The guy was tremendous. He's right there with Devin White, Levante David, Bobby Wagner, and some of the best inside linebackers in this league. They have a stout defense. I think it's a little bit of a challenge for Brady and the guys.
Oh, it's definitely a challenge, Ira, but I am calling it right here, Ira. I'm going to get to it early. I don't care if you want to wait later. I think the Bucs are going to blow them out. I think it's a bad matchup for the Saints, even though it's been a good matchup for the Saints in the past. Drew Brees, Jameis Winston is a different animal. They don't have the receiving power. I don't think they're going to be able to feed the ball to Kamara 37 times a game through the air and on the ground and have a lot of success with that. And Devin White should be going out of his mind. He's from Louisiana. He's going to be all jacked up. He needs a breakthrough game. The defense is playing well. The pass rush is coming on well. I think Joe Tryon is a guy that they can use maybe creatively to even fluster some things with Kamara. And, the Saints, I'm sure, will take some deep shots just because you have to against the Bucs cornerbacks. But I think Brady's going to pick them apart, and I think the Bucs are going to win by 3 scores, Ira. 3 scores.
Wow, that's outstanding, Steve. Lee, I'm looking at that Lattimore-Mike Evans thing. You know, everybody's looking at Mike Evans' eye. You know, he's off to a slow start. Is he, Lee? Really?
Oh, I don't think so, no.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, the guy's on pace for 17 touchdown catches. I mean, that's a whale of a season. That would be like the third or fourth time in his career he's got 12 or more. I mean, that's a Hall of Fame arc right there. You've talked about that. But he and Lattimore, they get into it. Lattimore's smart. He knows how to get under Evans' skin. And if there's one knock on Evans, Lee, sometimes his emotions get the best of him. I hope he can keep those things under control, because if he can, you know, I think Brady can have a good day.
I agree with you about Evans and Lattimore. Lattimore gets in his head. You're right. You're absolutely right. And if there's one cornerback that is sort of Evans' kryptonite, it is Lattimore. And I got into it with a guy on Instagram, and I also got into it with a guy, although to a lesser degree, on our website. There's some people out there that think Evans is one of the most overrated receivers there is. I got into it with this guy on Instagram, and he's like, oh, he's not a game changer like Odell Beckham. Well, when's the last time Odell Beckham changed the game? 4 years ago? 5 years ago? And here's something for you to mull on, Ira. Since the beginning of the 2019 season, no receiver in the NFL has more touchdowns than Evans. He's got 29. I want to say it's 29 touchdowns. And so my argument for people that say, oh, Evans isn't a game changer, like, isn't scoring touchdowns changing a game? I thought so. For consistency, 1,000 yards a year. If you break Randy Moss's record, that should get people's attention. At least I think so. But, you know, when people are thinking of the top receivers, it seems like they're thinking more of burners than just a receiver. And that's why I think Evans gets lost in the shuffle. He's not a burner. That's no fault to him. but he plays at a top shelf level. And, you know, for the people that say Evans is overrated, I guess these are the same people that wouldn't put up with Steve Larkin.
No question about it. Steve, this Kamara, you know, I got him on my fantasy league team. He's my first pick, and he's a hell of a player by any standard. But I think they were worried about wearing him out, Steve, especially coming off last week. I think he had 30-plus touches. I mean, that's a lot of touches. You know, you do that for 17 weeks, the guy's got nothing going into December. I believe they just picked up Mark Ingram. Steve, it's his second stint with the Saints. You know, it's not like Ingram's going to be the number one ball carrier, but, you know, you give him the ball 8 times, and you take a little pressure off Kamara. Steve, the funny thing about Kamara with the Bucs, I believe since Devin White's come on board, he has not hurt the Bucs in the run game, Steve. He just hasn't. And so that's 4 regular season games and a playoff game. He really hasn't done much on the ground, but they throw to him an awful lot. This is where we can judge White's progress in coverage. He made a hell of a play on a pass from Breece intended for Kamara in the playoffs. Critical pick. And remember, Lee, he was on the sidelines right before that drive saying, I'm going to make the play to turn this game around. I'm going to do that. And then he did it. And he did it in coverage. So, you know, it's not going to be all Devin White. And that's where Levante David's absence could be felt, is in the coverage game. But I think Sean Payton's realizing, I can't wear Kamara out. He's too valuable.
I'm only concerned about this game. So I don't care if Alvin Kamara is wiped out by week 12. It's week 8. The Saints have had a bye week. Kamara's still young. I'm sure they might throw to him 40 times and hope that he breaks something open. I just don't think it's going to work. My focus is more on this week. But Ira, I think the bigger question, you, Lee, we watched and sat here for years watching Jameis Winston get overhyped to start games. His big thing with the Bucs under Arians was throwing a first series interception. That was this weird thing that they couldn't get rid of. This week, Byron Leftwich was talking about how amped up he was when he went back to Jacksonville, and he said, I wasn't even the starter the first time I went back there. I just wanted to rip the, you know, just trounce my old team, and I was all jacked up. Michael Vick was on FS1 talk this week talking about the 2 times he went back to face Atlanta. And he said, you know, at this point, I can be honest. He's like, you know, he was totally distracted and wanted to beat them. And I think Tom Brady didn't even have his best game going back to New England. Knowing how Jameis Winston is, how emotional he is, you could see it in his news conference. He was just doing everything he could to try to contain himself. Do you think he's just going to have a breakdown in this game and just lose the composure and the sort of game manager that Sean Payton has drilled into him?
I think if they get behind, Winston's in a lot of trouble with the added emotion involved. Lee, he doesn't want to lose to the Buccaneers. He just doesn't want to do that. And he's trying his best, Lee, during the press conferences in Metairie, Louisiana, to promote the fact that this is just another team on the schedule. It's the latest challenge for the Saints. It's a division matchup. Lee, that's a lot of nonsense. We see through that in a second over here. We're not some root from South Dakota over here. We drew the line pretty well on this podcast. He's dying to stick it to the Bucs. Not so much the players, Lee, because they didn't turn on him, at least publicly. But management, little Arians, little Leftwich, little Glazer, little Christensen, whatever you want to call it, Lee. He wants to stick it to this franchise. They gave up on him. They gave up on him. They didn't offer him a contract at the end of the 19th season. They let him hit the marketplace and brought in a guy who's a lot better than him. And he knows that. So, Lee, I'm not buying anything Winston says this week. He's going to be at a fever pitch Sunday afternoon. And should things not go well at the start, I think the pressure's going to mount on Mr. Winston. I don't think he's going to be able to handle it.
It could be. I mean, we don't know if Sean Payton has somehow gotten in his head and, you know, been able to keep him calm. And Steve's absolutely right. I think Jameis's biggest problem was he got too. It was a combination. He got too hyped up for games. And I do not dismiss the second part I'm going to say here. Jameis knew when he left the locker room before kickoff with the Bucks that if he didn't put up 35 points, they were losing. Maybe pressure got to him. I firmly believe, like Steve does, he was way too hyped up for games. But I wonder if part of that was pressure. He was putting so much pressure on himself because he knew they only scored 35, they're toast.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Don't you think he could have relaxed knowing that he could have turned around and handed off to Peyton Barber and Dario Gunbowale?
Well, he tried that one game with Dari, didn't he? It cost him 6 points.
Lee, that is one hell of an interesting theory, that part two thing, because you know what I relate this to? And, of course, I don't want to even put these two guys in the same sense, but in terms of the dynamic that you're presenting, I think that's killing Patrick Mahomes this year.
I've heard that, too.
They can't stop anybody, Casey. Can't stop anybody. You know, if Andy Reid, if this doesn't get any better, Andy Reid's going to have to throw Spagnuolo overboard, and that's not going to be easy for Reid because they're best buddies. But you got to do what you got to do, and they can't make a stop. And I think Mahomes is going out thinking, I got to put 35 points up. And as a result, Steve, you're trying to do too much. Now, look, Winston on his best day is not Patrick Mahomes, but it's the same dynamic at work when he was with the Bucks in 19.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon, and Lee's right. I mean, obviously, he had more pressure on him in Tampa with the Bucks on a variety of levels, from being the number one pick to being the face of the franchise to not having a defense for most of the time, and having a running game that he wasn't relying on in the way that he does now. And, of course, Sean Payton's done everything to take the pressure off him. But I don't think Jameis is going to handle this very well. I'd be very impressed, I'll say right now, I will be very impressed if he is very composed and doesn't throw a pick and stays cool if the game is tight, or if they're trailing, like you said, Ira, if they get down by 13 points in the third quarter, if he stays cool and calm and within himself. One interesting analysis I heard this week was that Jameis isn't really even throwing very accurately as far as the precision. I mean, doesn't mean he's not completing, but the precision in his short throws are not as good as they could be. And I heard this out of New Orleans, that they feel that that's taking some of the explosion out of the Saints offense, because he's not necessarily hitting Kamara in stride or just as sharp as Drew Brees was. But, you know, we dealt with that all last year. Tom Brady doesn't have that precision chemistry, and I think it's on the other foot right now.
Years ago, guys, we said that Winston is never going to lead the league in completion percentage, and he's not, Lee. I mean, you know, and that's where Drew Brees was unbelievable, because the guy would complete 70%, and that's not an exaggeration, 70%. Look at Winston's completion percentage, Lee. I think it's 58, something like that, this season. That's not very good by NFL standards. It's just not. So I think if the Saints are unable to establish the run, And I think that's going to be the case, because who runs on the Bucks except this nondescript guy from the Chicago Bears? Still trying to get over that one. But Lee, if they can't establish the run, here comes Barrett. Here comes JPP, who wants to break Winston in two, admittedly. Here comes White on a blitz. Lee, if Winston throws 40, 45 times against the Bucks Sunday, Bucks are going to win that game.
I think you're right. If the Saints can't get their running game going and you rely on Jameis, and here comes all the pressure, both mental and physical, I think the Saints collapse.
Yeah, and I think an added component to all that pressure is who's the quarterback on the other side. I mean, Jameis knows who Tom Brady is, and the pressure of going toe-to-toe with that guy. Ira, let's keep it raw. Let's keep it real. What do Bucks fans need to know about Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium?
You've heard us talk a lot about Sean Sullivan, and that really is the key. Besides being a football guru, and nobody knows the draft like Sean Sullivan, he's in my fantasy league, and I'm driving, of course, my cherry red Ford Escape. But here's the point. We talk a lot in these podcasts about the personal service with Sean Sullivan, asked for the Ira Kaufman discount. We're not fooling around here. How many dealerships have you ever gone to in your life, no matter what brand of car, where you're dealing directly with the general manager? It doesn't happen. Usually the guy's behind a glass booth. You can't get to him. You got to go through the salesman, then you go through the sales manager. you never really deal directly with the general manager. And that's not the case with Bill Curry Ford. That's what makes it so special. Sean Sullivan makes himself available. And it's not just to close the deal. He's there all the time. He spends more time there than he does in his house. And he's so accommodating. He's so knowledgeable. And he's so flexible. He will get you the vehicle you want. You'll be very happy with the experience. He's not a hard sell. He's not all over you. But he's there for you. And I can speak from personal experience. When you're done with Bill Curry Ford, you will be very, very pleased with the entire experience. And odds are, you will make a deal with Sean Sullivan, and you'll be very happy that you did.
One nugget Lee wrote earlier in the week, Ira, which I think is kind of interesting on a few levels. But first, I want to remind everybody, as we heard earlier, hey, if you have any sort of issue in your home, mold remediation, meaning you got a big mold problem, or you've got fire restoration that's needed to be done, flood, you call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately, 24/7 to get that free assessment. It's critical. Free assessment, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. And reminder, this is the final weekend for the Best in Class sweepstakes at Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping for a vehicle there and then test drive at Bill Curry Ford, any vehicle, and just let them know that you want in on the sweepstakes, and that is to watch a game with Sean Sullivan, the general manager, in the Bill Curry Ford suite, 40-yard line, food and drinks included. Plenty of time to do that. You could even do that early Sunday and then head home to watch the Bucks game, or head to watch it with the Sage himself at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. Ira, Lee wrote something earlier this week. JPP was hiking in October with Jameis Winston in Colorado. And I had to think about that for a second. I was like, what? And then I remembered that JPP had flown out to see a specialist about his shoulder. And apparently that was the Saints bye week. And I guess somehow those two guys connected and went out in the mountains somewhere and chopped it up. I just thought that was really interesting. And obviously Jameis is close with a lot of guys on this team. And I think that even adds more to the emotion. But what do you make of JPP hiking with Jameis?
You know, the more we hear about JPP, Lee, the more we realize how unique this guy is. On and off the field. Just a unique character. Never seen anybody like him in Tampa Bay sports. The competitive drive, the pain tolerance, the love for football. Combine it all with, you know, the great athleticism. And you got one hell of a package. Here he is going up a 14,000-foot peak with Jameis Winston. I'm out of breath just thinking about it, DeKemper. Because a few years ago, my wife and I went out to Denver to visit our son. And his girlfriend drove us up one of these mountains and pulled over at our first stop. And I got out of the car. I couldn't breathe, Lee. I literally couldn't breathe. I needed oxygen. And that's because I was thinking about Winston's next game as a Buccaneer quarterback. You know, the altitude really gets to you, Lee. It really gets to you. And on that trip, Mr. DeKemper, we also visited a hotel where Stephen King spent the night and got up the next day and started thinking about writing another thriller, and it turned into The Shining.
Ah, this is where? In Colorado?
In Colorado. And that's not the hotel I used for the film, but Steve, that's another example. You never know what the hell's going to show up on this podcast, cultural reference or two.
All right, Ira. Hey, you know, it's a couple of things that I wanted to get your take on, Sage. In this game, with the Bucks bye week next week, how do you think that affects the personnel decisions? And I'm going two directions with this. One, we believe that, hey, there's a chance Levante David could play. There's a chance Rob Gronkowski could play. But do you think the Bucks are more inclined to keep them out if because they know they have the bye the following week? And then on the flip side, do you think we see more snaps than usual? Because they only usually play about half the game. Do we see more snaps than usual this week from Vita Vea, from Ndamukong Suh, because of the bye week coming up? How do you think this all bye situation affects playing time?
You know, Lee, I can see both sides of the story here. I really could. And if they were playing the New York Giants, you know, or the Chicago Bears going into a bye week on the horizon, I would say, don't play Gronkowski, don't play David, don't play this guy that 50-50. But Lee, the significance of this game, where you could virtually wrap up the division title before November is here, I mean, that's quite an opportunity, Lee. So I still wouldn't push it with Lavonte David or Gronkowski, Lee. But at the same time, I want Vita Vea on that field. I want Sue on that field. Forget about this 35% snaps. I want to beat this team. I want to open up a 2.5 game lead. And Lee, if they do so, I think they're 90% of the way onto a division title. And of course, Lee, what was Arian's big speech before the season starts? Let's win the damn division, guarantee ourselves a home field. Here's the opportunity staring him in the face. So I can see both sides, but in terms of a guy like Vea or Sue, I want them out there. I want to give myself the best chance to win this game.
I already made several good points in just a couple of sentences. With Vea and Sue, I absolutely positively in the same boat you are. He's got all of the next 2 weeks to rest. Get out there. Suck it up. We need 45, 50 snaps from you guys. And two, with Sue, I think Arian should do with Sue, and I think he already is. But with JPP is so banged up that basically Arian's told him, I don't even want you practicing. Just show up on Sunday. That's all I need you for. I just need you on Sunday. You can hang out, watch practice during the week, show up on Sunday. Same with Sue. We all know what Sue can do. We know Sue's dedicated. We know he's this one. Like, you don't worry. Don't worry about your knee. You just take off. Show up on Sunday. And I agree with you about the division, but maybe it's just me. I've got higher goals in mind. I'm not worried about the division. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah, I want them to get a home game. Yeah, I want them to win a division. But my goal is home field advantage. Get that number one seed. And right now they're tied with half a game behind as we speak with the Rams, half a game behind the Cardinals, half a game behind the Packers. If they win, of course, Sunday, then they're tied. That's what I'm looking at. And if you're chasing the number one seed, that division title will fall into place for you.
And Steve, as we speak, the Bucs are the favorites to win the Super Bowl in Los Angeles. The Bucs are the favorites.
Well, Sage, I did want to mention to you, when you were talking about the Saints and resting players or whatever, you said, it's not like they're playing the Giants. Well, you know, I did want to wanted to throw it out there that those Giants, those fantastic Giants, put up 485 yards of offense in their victory against the Saints recently. Now, this is not to laud the Giants. I'm just saying that the Saints are a team the Bucs need to take care of business against.
Well said, Stevie. Good research, my man. What a memory you got, baby.
Vita Vea. You know, he was on Adam Schefter's show, Adam Schefter's podcast this week, and he was talking about, you know, Schefter said, hey, you were a running back in high school. I know you've taken some snaps at running back in the pros. And he was saying, I thought it would be so different in the NFL. It's not. It's the same as high school. And the Bucs, believe it or not, have had trouble at times punching the ball in from the 1 or 2 yard line. That happened in the Super Bowl. It scared the heck out of me at the time. Obviously, it didn't matter. Then recently, you know, against the Bears, they couldn't punch the ball in. Why can't we hand the ball out to Vea like French Perry? Give him the ball on the 2 yard line. Let him punch it in.
I think that's a fantastic idea, Lee. At least try it. You know, it would get everybody so excited. And of course, Lee, last week, wasn't that Vea that was kind of swimming towards the rowboat? Well, this time, if he scores a touchdown, Lee, we can put him at the forefront of the rowboat. You know, Fournette, you know, he's scoring touchdowns. He's scoring some. It would cause, shockwaves in Tampa Bay to see Vea turned into a little refrigerator. Perry, why can't he score 2 or 3 touchdowns this year? Why not, Steve?
Well, it would be an awful lot of fun. I'm just too paranoid of him getting hurt when you're leading by so many points like the Bucs have been. I don't know. I mean, it's great fun. I hope they do it because I want to see it. I want to see that safety who tries to meet him in the hole. But I just, you know, don't risk getting the guy hurt. If you're not going to be playing him, they're only playing him half the snaps on defense, and there's got to be a reason for that. surely don't want to see Villa taking a helmet to the knee, trying to hammer in a touchdown. Sage, I got to ask you this. Does it make a difference with what the Bucs are doing in the secondary? Looks like everybody's favorite fragrant cornerback, Pierre Desir, is going to be starting in opposite Jamel Dean. And do you think it matters? I mean, Desir is a guy who's played a lot. He seems to know the system now. And, you know, does it really matter what's going on back there in this game as far as the Bucs going super deep with their cornerbacks? And, of course, Mr. Reliable, Ross Cockrell's been able to hang in there all season, holding down the nickel, but he could play outside if they had to, like he did last year.
Steve, it's not going to matter if they can get Jameis Winston under duress consistently. Then it's not going to matter. If Winston has a comfortable pocket, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Jameis Winston is a starting quarterback in the NFL. Legitimate. Is he elite? Probably not. But, you know, the guy can do some damage. He's dangerous. But if you put him under duress, Lee, that's where his decision-making comes into focus and his weaknesses. At that moment of truth, Lee, I've talked about it a lot, especially I always come back to those last two games of 2019. I can't get past it. I just can't. He had played well for a good stretch, Lee. They had won four in a row, I believe, and they were 7-7. And the arrow, the proverbial arrow, was looking up. It was looking up. And then at that moment of truth, you know, under harassment, he made bad decisions. And not only did it cost the Bucs two games, but it ushered in Tom Brady. So in the end, Lee, it wasn't a bad thing. But that spelled the end. That spelled the end for Jameis Winston. But Lee, if the Bucs make them comfortable, and Shaq Barrett and JPP don't show up on Sunday, the Bucs will be in trouble.
Yeah, I'll say this real quick. After that Detroit game in 2019, I don't think there's one person in the NFL thought that Jameis wasn't the answer at quarterback. After that Detroit game, 14th game. Yep. And then everything fell apart. I almost hate to say this, but it's true. Thank God it collapsed, because the Bucs don't win a Super Bowl if Jameis doesn't collapse.
Right.
They don't get Brady. They don't win a Super Bowl. Thank goodness. You know, I hate to say that because I always liked Jameis. Thank goodness that happened.
Hey, the scary thing is that Tom Brady, given what San Francisco, the decision they made with Tom Brady, if the Bucs don't take Tom Brady, there's a very good chance, I believe, that he would have landed in New Orleans. And then what?
Very interesting. There's no reason he wouldn't want to play for Sean Payton, Lee, and have Alvin Kamara in his backfield. Steve's right.
Yeah, I mean,
about Breeze. Okay, I see. Breeze would have retired.
Yeah, at the time, you know, if you look at it, at the time, arguably the best offensive line in the game at the time, and elite running back, and arguably the best wide receiver in the game before he melted down a little bit, Michael Thomas. So, I mean, that had to have been attractive from that standpoint. And, you know, plus Hall of Fame coach and Drew Brees, you know, and him share the same quarterback guru and Tom House. It could have been a possibility, which would have just been so ugly for the Bucs. Right? It's just given me the shakes just thinking about it. And I wanted to ask you about the division a little bit, and in just the broader sense, you know, we want to see the Bucs get a lead in the division, a big lead, because if they can't get the number one seed, if that somehow evades them in some way with the schedule down the road, you want them to have plenty of comfort to maybe clinch their spot with 2-3 games left, which might be very nice with injuries and all that stuff. There can be advantages there. But this week's game, you got Atlanta playing against Carolina that's completely fell apart. And then next week, you've got, when the Bucs are on the bye week, you have Atlanta going to the Saints. And if the Saints lose to the Bucs and Atlanta comes in after beating Carolina, Atlanta would be 4-3, same record as the Saints. And the whole thing could be shaken up in a big way, and the Bucs could get some tremendous lead with these guys beating up on each other. Any thoughts on this Falcons-Carolina match?
Well, as you said, Steve, accurately, this is the time of year, Lee, where the frauds expose themselves. And Carolina was a fraud. Now, they played great defense en route to a 3-0 record, Lee. They did. But they weren't beating anybody. And, of course, their counterpart in the fraud department in the AFC are the Denver Broncos. Late Denver Broncos. Also, I believe, started 3-0 and have fallen apart. Neither team has any kind of offense. Neither team has an elite quarterback, and it has caught up to both of them. Lee, what I think is interesting is Atlanta hanging in there. And, of course, Lee, they gave the Bucs a tussle in week two. Let's not be fooled by the final score. Mike Edwards padded that final score and put that game away, but midway through the fourth quarter, that was a very competitive game. And I mentioned it earlier this week. I'm going to say it again. I can't say enough about Matt Ryan. He's holding that whole team together. They don't have more than one or two guys on defense that you can name. They don't have a running game. No Julio Jones. Kyle Pitts is coming along very nicely, Lee. That does not look like a bad draft pick. Certainly not.
Oh, no.
And Matt Ryan is standing tall. And the Bucs are going to have to go to Atlanta. Because, Lee, remember last year when they went to Atlanta, it was 17-0 Falcons at the half. Tremendous comeback by Brady. Tremendous. But Atlanta's hanging in there, Lee. And like Steve said, they win the 4-3. They beat the Saints, which is possible the following week while the Bucs are resting. They'd be 5-3. That would be a heck of an accomplishment, Lee, if the Falcons are 5-3 at that point. So my hat's off to Arthur Smith's doing a nice job in Atlanta as a first-year head coach. Matt Ryan is not to be trifled with. I didn't say he's a Hall of Famer, but he's kind of in the conversation.
Just to reinforce your point, I never thought of it, but that's a perfect analogy. Carolina Panthers, Denver Broncos. They've got good defenses. They've got good skill position players. They're missing one thing, both teams. They're missing the same thing, and it's why they're collapsed. They have no quarterback. They have no quarterback. They are mirror images of each other. That's a great point. And, oh, by the way, how lucky are we that the Bucs did not land Teddy Bridgewater? Remember Arians was floating that idea?
Yes. Woo!
Boy, talk about dodging the bullet there. That's number one. Number two, the Falcons are starting to turn the corner. And that's a dangerous team if they turn the corner. And I agree with you. Smith is doing, I think, a pretty good job there in Atlanta. A couple weeks ago, I would never have thought the Falcons would be a winning team or even close to a wild card team. I thought they were going to be in the basement. In Buccaneers Cove, I used to call it, and still do. The basement of the NFC South was Buccaneers Cove because they inhabited that basement for so many years.
It's been interesting watching the Falcons. I watched those games. For the most part, Kyle Pitts is really just playing slot receiver. Very little tight end. Maybe 20-25% of his snaps are actually at tight end, and nobody can cover him in the slot. The guy is just a freak. He's a very interesting player to watch. Ira,
oh my God.
I've already put my three-score victory on the line here, so I'm going to call it. I'm going to put a number on it and say 30-13 Bucks. What say you and Lee?
I think this is going to be a dogfight. Just something about it, it smells like a dogfight. Obviously, I'm going to pull for the Bucks to win. 24-21 Bucks.
I don't want to scare you guys, and I don't want to scare Buck Nation, but Derek Brooks is picking the Saints. I'm not. I'm going to make it unanimous, gentlemen. I'm kind of more with Lee. I think it'll be more of a defensive game. I'm going with 23-17 Buccaneers. That would put them, Lee, in a beautiful 7-1 slot going into the bye week. I don't think you could ask for much more than that as a Buck fan.
And I will say that's what you predicted, Ira. You did predict a 7-1 at the bye week. That was one of your 18 preseason prognostications, which we can review at the bye week. So hopefully you go 7-1 and get to check that box. I got to bring this up, Ira. I put it on the website. It's not a clickbait thing. I've been thinking about it for a little while. And it's a credit to Ryan Succop himself because of how good he was last year. But in 20 games last year, the guy missed 3 field goals. Ira, he's already quietly missed 3 field goals. He's at like 73% or so completion rate on those. And he doesn't have the big range. Are you concerned that if he goes 1 of 2 in this game and drops below 70% and goes into the bye week, maybe lacking a little confidence, he's 35 years old. I don't care who the Bucs are playing. You need a good kicker for the playoff run, which was proven last year and is sort of proven every year. Do you have any shred of concern for Ryan Succop?
Absolutely, yes. And I'll tell you why, Lee. 2 points. One, not so much the Saints game in week 8. Not so much. But in January, you're not going to blow people out most often in the postseason as good as the Bucs are. And more importantly, Lee, the guy wasn't any good in training camp. He wasn't any good. If he was somebody else that didn't do a good job in 2020, he might have lost his job, Lee. He was that shaky. And we monitored it. We said, Succop's really struggling. And here we are, you know, through week 7, and he hasn't distinguished himself. He was very good last year, Lee. And that saved his job and earned a lot of confidence from the coaching staff, justifiably. But Lee, he's got something to prove right now. Age might be getting to him. You know, kickers are a funny breed, Lee, except for the great ones. You know, the Vinatieri's, the Justin Tuckers. From year to year, you never quite know what you're going to get. And Succop might be in that category. Lee, it is a concern. It's kind of overlooked because Brady's throwing touchdown passes at a dizzying rate, Lee. But if he was, and so they're not relying. You know, they're not kicking a lot of field goals. But, Lee, as the season goes on, I'm watching Ryan Succop, and he's got to raise his game a little bit.
You know, I have such severe PTSD flashbacks to Bucks kickers of yore. I don't even think, comparatively speaking, there is no comparison. There is no comparison. Matt Gay, I don't want to hear about what Matt Gay is doing with the Rams. You know, if someone has that kind of foresight, they need to be picking the lottery numbers, you know? He was awful with the Bucks. I can go on and on and on. So, to me, Ryan Succop has been a godsend. He was a godsend last year. He's a godsend this year. I'm sticking with Succop. I'm riding that bandwagon. I can't even fathom that a shaky Succop is worse or as bad as some of the Bucks kickers in the past. I can't go there.
Don't forget the remarkable Mr. Catanzaro. All right, Steve? Don't forget him. Throw him in there.
A lot of kicking issues in Tampa. We don't even need to go there. Ira, you will be at Big Storm Brewing Company, Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton on Sunday, watching the game with fans. Fired up for that. Enjoy a Bromosa. Everybody can stock up on Big Storm beer at Publix. And Sage, one little reminder, and then I got a question for Lee, and then we're out. You said this is the time of year for frauds, Ira, and that the Carolina was revealed as a fraud. Well, I have to point out that they did blow out the Saints, so I'm hoping that this is fraud week for New Orleans. Lee, you said you had a good story, a quick little story about the best-in-class sweepstakes going on at Bill Curry Ford. What happened there?
Well, Sean Sullivan, of course, our good friend at Bill Curry Ford, he has his own podcast, as you mentioned, the best-in-class. And I guess a listener confronted him at a upscale South Tampa establishment, a dinner establishment. And it was a friendly encounter. The guy walked up to Sean Sullivan, and he's like, I want to know why you like Joe Tryon so much. And Sean looks at the guy and he's like, you really want to do this here? And he's like, yeah. So they got into it about Joe Tryon at this establishment. And the very next day, the same person calls up Sean, buys a Bronco from him.
Nice.
There you go. This happens to Ira all the time, and nobody ever buys him anything, but oh well.
Not even a Bromosa?
Hey, Steve, one more thing about being at Big Storm on Sunday afternoon, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton. I'll have some gift cards to hand out, so looking forward to it, Steve.
All right, Ira, we will be back gathering together Sunday night for a quick turnaround podcast for Monday. Looking forward to that little shift in the schedule. Sage, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.
Two words for Ira. Statesboro Blues.